Welcome to the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. I'm Dora Walsh, personalized nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems like obesity, hard to lose weight, immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, autoimmunity, out of control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important tips and nutritional advice that can really aid you in your quest for health, energy, and longevity. Today, we're talking about fibermaxing, the social media trend now hitting the mainstream. So much so that people are devising clever ways to strategically add more fiber to every single meal. First, it was protein. Now it's fiber that's stealing the limelight. So what is fibermaxing? And is excessive fiber good for us or just another wellness trend? Fibermaxers intentionally and strategically maximize their daily fiber intake by building meals around plant-based, fiber-dense foods like legumes, whole grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables, and occasionally use supplements posed with fiber gap. There's plenty of strong evidence that fiber supports our health. And in many ways, high fiber diets are linked with a lower risk of constipation, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and bowel cancer, which is notably rising in younger adults. It can also make us feel full, which can support weight management. And fiber also provides food for our gut microbiome. There are many upsides, which we'll talk about today, as well as explaining how you can fibermax your diet and also that there are any risks with fibermaxing. Here to speak with us today about fiber is Fasana Nasser. Fasana Nasser is a registered nutritionist and certified functional medicine practitioner, specializing in gut health, and is also the author of the Everyday High Fiber Plan from New River Books. You can find out more about her on her website, fasananasser.com, and also follow her on Instagram at fasananasser_nutrition and on Facebook at fasananasser and on TikTok also at fasananasser_nutrition. And her book is The Everyday High Fiber Plan by New River Books. You can get it on Amazon online. You can get it on Waterstones online, any online bookstore. And if you're a physical person, I believe you can get it in central London in Waterstone. Definitely give it a go. I'm excited to speak to Fasana today about fibermaxing and whether it's something you should be doing and also finding out about her wonderful book. Welcome to the show, Fasana.
Thank you, Dora. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
It's so great to have you on the show. You've written a wonderful book, The Everyday High Fiber Plan. I'm so glad you've written this book because we kind of know that fiber is good for us, but people really need to know about all the amazing benefits that it has in all different areas of our health. And I'm really excited to unpack that with you today. Before we talk about fibermaxing and your book and how people can help themselves by adding more fiber to their diet, tell us a bit about how you came to be a nutritionist and why you wrote this book, The Everyday High Fiber Plan.
Yeah, so I actually graduated from finance and I worked in banking for several years. But by the time I was 26, I had an ulcer. I had an autoimmune condition. I had chronic psoriasis. I had hormone imbalance, PCOS, and I was burnt out. At that point in time, I thought I was the healthiest person in the world. I wasn't eating as well as I should, but I thought I was. And I didn't understand why I had all these diagnoses. So I guess the first thing I did was look at my diet. I went to see a nutritionist, and that led me going back to school and studying, retraining in nutritional therapy for 4 years, and then going and training with the Institute of Functional Medicine and getting my certification. And it allowed me to get my autoimmunity into remission and reverse my other conditions as well, which made me very passionate about the power of food. And it's so foundational. And just looking at the stats of how 96% of UK adults are not getting enough fiber and how that is so foundational to health, which is why I have written the book.
What is fiber and where can we get it from?
So fiber is a type of carbohydrate, but as humans, we cannot digest it. We only have about 15 to 18 digestive enzymes to break down food. However, our gut microbiome has thousands of enzymes, and they are able to break down the fiber into beneficial anti-inflammatory compounds that support our health and well-being. Fiber itself comes from anything in the plant kingdom. So lots and lots of things. We've got fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, herbs, legumes, grains, spices, teas, anything in the plant kingdom will have fiber. The amount of fiber will vary. Obviously, some foods are higher in fiber and some foods are lower, but we can talk about how we want to get more in, but it is about layering different ingredients in to help us hit the recommended amount of daily fiber that we're supposed to get.
For people that don't really understand fiber, they might get a feel for what it is, but how does it work?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, and also to say, when we say it's an old plant, you're thinking color, right? I think a lot of people, when they think of fiber, they think brown, bland, boring, and to help with constipation, right? But it's so much more than that. The way fiber works is, I think a lot of people, so we've got the three Ps. We've got probiotics, prebiotics, and postbiotics. I think a lot of people know what probiotics are. So they're like beneficial bacteria that some people take as a supplement. Otherwise, you're getting it in fermented food, like yogurt and kefir and sauerkraut, right? So these are live beneficial bacteria that come into our gut. They sit there for 5 to 7 days. They work their magic and then they leave. Prebiotics is basically fiber. So we have that we'll get from our different plant foods. We eat the plants. We absorb the nutrients, the protein, the carbs, the vitamins and minerals. And then the fiber that we cannot break down goes into our large intestine, which is home for our gut microbiome. In our large intestine, our microbes then feast on fiber. They break the fiber down. And with that, they produce beneficial compounds, which are called postbiotics. These beneficial compounds called postbiotics, when we get enough of them, can be so helpful to our health. So where they are the main source of food for our colonocytes, which are our gut cells. And once we have enough for our gut cells, then they go throughout the body, having a very anti-inflammatory, health-supporting effect in all areas. And so unlike if you take a probiotic supplement, those bacteria stay and leave. But when you have your prebiotics and you have your fiber, you're actually feeding the microbes that already exist in your gut so that they can grow, so they can flourish. And in addition to that, they're then also producing beneficial anti-inflammatory compounds to support our health, called the postbiotics. Does that make sense?
It does. It's so good to spell it out, because sometimes when you have an understanding of how it works and what it does, you're much more likely to do it and kind of comforted in the fact that what you're eating, when you're eating all those fruits and vegetables and those whole grains, those nuts, those seeds, those legumes, they're actually doing something. They have a beneficial effect in the body. What impact does fiber have on different systems of the body?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people think it's just for gut health. It's helping support a daily bowel movement, helping prevent constipation. I mean, that's what most people will say. And yeah, absolutely. It's so important for your gut health. We have up to 80% of our immune system, which is in the gut. And fiber feeds our microbes that then also help train our immune cells. They're very important for gut health. But it goes way beyond that. It has an impact throughout the body. So we know what happens in the gut also impacts mental health, right? So there is a correlation between gut and mental health. So fiber affects how you feel. One study found that just a 5-gram increase in fiber, so that could be, what is 5 grams? That could be half an avocado. That could be 1 tablespoon of chia seeds. That could be half a cup of raspberries. That could be a medium-sized pear. So those are just examples of 5 grams of fiber. That had the potential to reduce depression by 5%. And there's another study that found that, you know, by increasing your plant intake by just one, but being consistent, increased feelings of happiness and well-being. But you had to be consistent. And the more you increase them, the higher your feelings of happiness and well-being were. So it's not a race game. What it's showing is any increment that you make is a good one, as long as you're consistent. So we know there's a link between the food that we eat and how we feel. Another really interesting area is, you know, longevity is huge right now, right? People are trying to talk about hacks to optimize their life, increase their longevity. And there are a lot of cool items that you can buy, and they're a lot of money. I feel like fiber is the ultimate longevity hack. There was one study that showed that increasing fiber by 10 grams per 1,000 calories could reduce your biological age by up to 4 years. Isn't that the ultimate hack?
Not so expensive, not as expensive as the red light and lymphatic drainage.
No, but and also it's foundational. Is we have an opportunity to support our health 3 times a day, every time we have a meal. We just have to make little changes to what we're eating so that we're getting the benefits, you know, getting as much benefit as we can from the foods that we are eating.
At every single meal, we have the chance to change our life. So why not get fiber into every single meal like the Fiber Maxes? I'm quite impressed with them. We'll talk about that a bit later. Now, you talked about a certain amount of fiber that we need in our diet for people that aren't sure, because sometimes I think we can get too much or sometimes we can get too little. What is the recommended amount of fiber that we need?
Okay, so the NHS recommends that we have 30 grams of fiber every day. Most UK adults are getting between 16 to 18 grams of fiber. The difference between this and 30 grams is known as the fiber gap. And that is what we are trying to fill. And that's where the magic happens. So it's not about, when you say 30 grams, it can feel a little bit overwhelming. Like, how am I supposed to get 30 grams of fiber in, right? But it's actually really simple. But you do need to make an effort. And you do need to think about, what can I add? How can I layer my meals? How can I get more goodness in? So it's not like this diet where you're like, I have to have this for breakfast and this for lunch and this for dinner. That's not sustainable. It's about starting where you're at. So for example, if you have a bowl of porridge for breakfast, which is a great breakfast, it's a very popular breakfast, but that's only 4 grams of fiber, you can make that better. So for example, day one, you might add a tablespoon of ground flaxseed to that. That's 2.5 grams of fiber. And then you might wait 3 or 4 days. So the thing is, we don't want to go from 15 grams to like 30 grams overnight. We want to increase fiber gradually to give our gut time to adjust so we don't have any gut issues in the process. So we might do that. We made our meal 4 grams of fiber to 6.5 grams of fiber. We've also added omega-3s from the ground flax. We've also added phytoestrogens from the ground flax. And it's a brilliant colonic food. So then after a few days, you might add 1/2 cup of blueberries. That's another 2.5 grams of fiber. And that also gives us some natural sweetness to our porridge. Blueberries have anthocyanins, which is the purple pigment. And that actually crosses your blood-brain barrier and it supports better focus very quickly. And so why wouldn't we want that in the morning to support our day and our morning, right? Then after a few days, you might add some almond butter. Then we might add some cinnamon. Then we might add some shelled hemp seeds. But we can layer in different ingredients into our meals. And that very quickly increases the fiber, but not only the fiber, but the goodness and the other, you know, phytochemicals and benefits of the ingredients you've added. And having that additional fiber is going to keep you fuller for longer. It's going to support better energy. You're less likely to get crashes. And it has an impact on the rest of the day as well.
This is the perfect description of fiber maxing, how to max out your meal with fiber. And also, I like the fact that you talked about doing it gradually in order to avoid any kind of gut issue, because we have to get used to the fiber, don't we?
Yeah, no, we absolutely do. And I think the trick is having a store cupboard that is full of useful ingredients that you can add to your meal. So I have lists of, like, you know, useful ingredients for your store cupboard, for your fridge, for your freezer, all in my book, just to make it really easy for you. Because if you have the ingredients, then it's easy. So just having frozen blueberries in your freezer is absolutely brilliant, right? Have like the other ingredients in your store cupboard. And so then you're just ready to go.
The book is The Everyday High Fiber Plan from New River Books. And you can get it from Amazon online, get it from Waterstones online, any online bookshop by Fasana Nasser. And I do recommend it because it's got this list and we all need a list. And it's so great to have that clarity of, this is exactly what I need to have in my cupboard. there's a lot of confusion around that. So if you really want to hit those goals for fiber, and we know now that fiber has so many benefits other than just bulking out your stores, which is wonderful because for our hormones, we can have better brain health, better mood, better gut microbiome, etc. There are so many benefits. So why wouldn't we have that little roadmap in our kitchen to direct us on exactly what we need to do and what are the ingredients that we can add to our meals? And it's wonderful to have.
Yeah, no, definitely. And if you're prepared, it really does make it easy. And then it's knowing what you can add and what you can layer into different meals.
You talked about the fiber gap before. Tell us what that is and how you have talked to us a bit about closing the gap by adding more fiber. But how are people terribly deficient in fiber in this country?
Yeah, I mean, most people are getting half the recommended amount of fiber, just over half the recommended amount. And knowing the benefits that come with having enough fiber, how it supports longevity, it reduces all-cause mortality by about up to 24%, supports cardiovascular health, our hormones. You know, I don't think there really is an area of health that it doesn't impact. So just having smart ways that you can close that fiber gap, like the example with breakfast, it's taking you from 4 grams of fiber. And if you're starting the day with 4 grams of fiber, it makes it very hard to then think, how am I going to hit 30? But it takes you from 4 to about 12 grams with those additional ingredients.
And you've done it in the morning. So it's not like you suddenly have to max out your dinner with fiber because you didn't hit your goals. If you think about it for each meal, then you can easily hit your goal by the end of the day.
Absolutely. And you want to front load the fiber as well, because when you do have the fiber, it has a knock-on effect on how you feel for the rest of the day. So you want to front load it. So you are feeling more energized. You are feeling fuller till lunchtime. You do have better mood. So front loading it is great. And also our capacity to break down food is better in the morning as well.
You talked about adding flax seeds. Do you ever add nuts to your porridge as well?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things you can add. You can add nuts, you can add seeds, you can add nut butters, you can add spices, you can grate apple into it. In wintertime, when you get your veg box, I love to get a veg box because it kind of forces you to use veg that you wouldn't otherwise use. And I used to get parsnips in my veg box and I didn't know I'm not a parsnip fan. So I started grating them into my porridge and it's so delicious. And you just get another layer of goodness that way. You can add turmeric, you could have cocoa powder. So chocolate is a high fiber food. Obviously, if you're having a milk chocolate.
Cocoa powder fiber.
Yeah, cocoa powder is a high fiber food.
I didn't know that, Pasana.
Yes, it's so brilliant, right? So another idea is you could add a tablespoon of cocoa powder into your porridge, and then you could add some dates into it too. And the dates will just melt in. It will naturally sweeten the porridge. You get another 2 grams of fiber per date. You get about 2 or 3 fibers for the cacao or cocoa powder. And you get the most delicious chocolatey porridge. If you don't like dates, you could mash in a banana. That will give some natural sweetness to the porridge too. But honestly, there are so many ways to increase the fiber, get in more goodness. Cacao has so many benefits as well. So I know when we're increasing the plants that we have, we're getting all, not only the fiber, we're getting the goodness from all the different plant foods as well. But yeah, you could add cocoa, you could add bananas, dates, nuts, seeds, spices, like a nice porridge is an apple grated in with a little bit of turmeric. You get a lovely anti-inflammatory porridge. When you grate in an apple into your porridge, I actually have that recipe in the book. When you grate an apple into the porridge and you cook it for 8 to 10 minutes, it releases more of a special kind of fiber called pectin, which is very anti-inflammatory. And then you've got the turmeric too. So it's a really delicious anti-inflammatory start to the day.
Are all these little tips in your book?
Yes, they're all in the book. And the recipes are in the book too. So like that porridge recipe's in there. There's some other recipes that use stewed apples. There's a really lovely 3-ingredient cake, which is just stewed apples, 85% dark chocolate, and orange rind. And so you've got the different fibers from the different food, but it's like this rich, indulgent mousse-like cake, which just, you know, you're not compromising on flavor or taste. It actually tastes like a Terry's chocolate orange, but you just have goodness. It's just concentrated with so much goodness and fiber.
You talked about dates. My favorite dates are medjool dates because they're super juicy. Do you ever soak your dates or you just chop them straight in?
I tend to dip it in the porridge.
Yeah, like, do you soak your dates the night before?
No.
And then add them to the porridge, or you just do them dry?
I just do them dry. And then the water that you, whenever you cook your porridge in, whether it's water or milk, that will rehydrate the dates and they will break up. Anyway, they end up breaking up as you cook the porridge and just naturally sweeten everything and give everything a lovely texture.
Sounds delicious. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about Vitamaxing with Prasanna Nasa. She's a nutritionist and also the author of the Everyday High Fiber Plan from New River Books. You can get it on Amazon online, also Waterstone or any online bookshop. And we're going to be talking a lot more with her after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dura Water on UK Health Radio on the Nutrition For Me show. And we're talking about Vitamaxing with Prasanna Nasa. She's a nutritionist, functional medicine practitioner, also the author of the Everyday High Fiber Plan from New River Books. You can get that on Amazon, also on Waterstones Online, any online bookshop. Also check out her website, prasannanasa.com. Is that the right website, Prasanna?
Yes, it is.
Wonderful. Now we're talking about Vitamaxing. Let's talk about polyphenols, because I know you touched on that when we were talking before, and eating the rainbow. Why is this so important that we get these polyphenols in our diet? Is it just enough to get bran? Is that a good way to get fiber? Why do we have to get them from polyphenols?
Well, I think this is the perception that people have, is that fiber means bland, brown, and boring. But it's not. It's in all plant foods and it's in the rainbow of foods, right? And so we want to get that rainbow of foods for the fiber, but for the polyphenols, which are basically phytochemicals, which means plant chemicals, and they have so many benefits. And we're just learning about them now. So first of all, the diversity will give us different fiber types. So we know that we want a diverse gut microbiome, and a diverse gut microbiome means better health outcomes. And we get this diverse microbiome from diversity of plant foods. So, you know, there was, you might have heard 30 plants a week to get the different diversity of plants and colors and that to support our gut microbiome. But all the different colors, they have different benefits. Like we touched on the blueberries that have anthocyanins that cross the blood-brain barrier. We know things like pomegranate contains a compound called bilirubin A. Our gut bacteria break it down, and this supports our mitochondria, which are the energy-producing cells in all of our cells. So we're just learning about all the different color compounds in the food that our microbes break down, and they feed off this and produce beneficial compounds, all having different impacts on health. We're still at the very beginning of learning about a lot of these benefits and compounds. But yeah, getting the rainbow in, getting the color in, getting the fiber in, And getting fermented food in too, we want to do that too. It can all sound a little bit overwhelming, but I promise it's not. And I take you through everything in the 30-day plan in my book as well.
In the 30-day plan, does it show you how to eat over 30 days or how to just gradually kind of convert yourself into a higher fiber eater? How does it work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when the beginning of the book talks about the science, how it looks at different aspects of health and how fiber has been shown in the research to support those areas of health. Then the 30-day plan takes you by the hand and shows you how to gradually increase fiber in your diet. So, you know, it might be like layering your breakfast. It shows you how to layer each of your meals. It shows you how to get the colors of the rainbow into your diet. It shows you how to easily incorporate fermented foods. It shows you how to eat your meal. So a lot of us are eating so quickly and we're on the go, but we want to really chew our food. So digestion is a top-down process. It starts with like looking at your food. Like how many times have you looked at your food and smelt your food and you start to salivate? There are digestive enzymes in your saliva helping to break down the food. And we're mechanically supposed to break down the food in our mouth, chewing. This might blow a lot of people's mind, but I think most people are chewing their food 3 to 4 times. We're actually supposed to chew our food 20 to 25 times before we swallow it.
Nathana, I read 38 times and I was thinking I wasn't hitting the target. So you're making me feel better now.
Yeah, that's even more. Like, yeah, wow. So we have to actually take the time, you know, sit down when we have our meal, take a couple of deep breaths, you know, chew our food so that we can extract all the goodness as much as possible from our food. When we're stressed out, you know, our body doesn't know that if we're stressed out because I'm trying to get the food on the table, I've got to rush to a call, I'm stuck in traffic, or if you're actually running away from that saber-toothed tiger, it's not going to be sending blood to your digestive organs to break down the food. It's going to be sending blood to your muscles so you can run away from that tiger, which impacts your ability to break down your food and produce your enzymes as well that help break it down further. So we talk about mindful eating, how to incorporate it, what to do, and different things that can support it. When you're traveling, how can you get your fiber in when traveling? A lot of people feel more constipated when they travel too. So there are useful travel tips and hacks and ingredients you might want to take with you when you travel. And then we have like lists of, you know, fiber amounts in different food. We talk about lifestyle as well, and organic, non-organic, what is best. We have different lists in the UK. In America, they have the Environmental Working Group, where you have your Dirty Dozen and your Clean 15. In the UK, we have the Pan UK, which is slightly different. And then I take you through by the hand, explaining how you can layer all your different meals with goodness. There are also 130 recipes if you want to try something new.
What's the feedback you've been getting on the book and what people are getting out of it?
Yeah, no, the feedback has been great. I think people love the recipes because they're easy, they're delicious, they're full of fiber, but there's so many hacks in the book and ways to get in more goodness that you might not have thought of. So one of my favorite things is when we talk about layering our meals, when we saute onions like a sofrito, that's such a good opportunity to add more ingredients in. A lot of us will put like celery, carrot, an onion, but have you ever thought about getting some dried shiitake mushrooms, blitzing them in the blender and adding that to the base? It gives it such a lovely earthy taste. It's a great way to get in mushrooms. A lot of people don't like it because of the slimy texture, but when you have dried shiitake mushrooms and you blend it, you lose that. And they've got a special kind of fiber called beta glucans, which is great for immune and heart health as well. And so that's a lovely way to get them in regularly, using them as a base in your cooking. So whether you're making like a soup or a stew or a casserole, anything that you make in the evening, you can like blitz these shiitake mushrooms and add them to the base. You could add things like artichokes. Artichokes are another great high fiber food. I think they're so underutilized. No one really eats them, but they're delicious. And if you finely chop them and add them to whatever you're eating, they kind of just disintegrate into the onion mixture. But you've got in more fiber. It's a brilliant liver supporting food as well. And it's another way to get in some diversity. So there's like food hacks and lists and ways to get them in. Another one would be if you're doing just onions in your cooking, another great hack would be don't just use yellow onions, use a red onion, yeah. Use a shallot, use a leek, use a spring onion. You could use all of those things in the base just to get in that diversity. And these are prebiotic rich foods. So they're great for supporting your health and getting in fiber and goodness.
Prebiotic is what the probiotics feed on. So it's the food for our good bacteria. And we could get those from artichokes and from onions, all of these things that Fasano's mentioned. It's kind of a bit overwhelming, all of this stuff, but it's so good that you have that clear guidance on expanding the array of fiber sources. And I think this is key because people just marry themselves to just white onions or a bit of garlic, and they might not be thinking there are other things in that family of food. You can have leeks, there are shallots, there are also other foods like artichokes, which you mentioned, which maybe some people feel alienated by because they look like they're very difficult to cook. But if how, you can do it. And it's just another way to add that, you know, higher level of fiber that, so that you're not just focusing on one level, one thing. It's just like when people just eat one apple a day. Well, we need more than that. We need all different types of fruits and different types of vegetables. So it's about opening your mind and taking those steps to increase the diversity of what you're eating.
Yeah, and the thing is, right, this isn't a trend, okay? I mean, fiber maxing is trending, but it's not just a trend. It's not something that we have to do for a week or 2 weeks or the summer. We have to do this for the rest of our life to support health, wellness, longevity, to support our health. And so it has to be done in a very sustainable way, which is why we do one layer at a time, so that if you can habit stack it onto something you're already doing, you're already having breakfast, right? You're already having your porridge or your yogurt bowl or your smoothie or whatever it is. Let's just layer in more goodness so that it's sustainable and it has longevity.
Let's talk about beans, Fasano, because beans are a good source of fiber. And we haven't talked about them too much so far. We've kind of been talking about the vegetables, which I love. But with beans, so many people know that they're great and they're a great source of fiber, but some people find it hard to digest. How can we make beans more digestible?
Yeah, no, that's really good. I'm so glad that you brought that up. So, you know, I told you that when I was trying to get healthier, I went to a nutritionist and she gave me a very generic diet plan to follow that she gave everyone. And on that, it had an adzuki bean lasagna. And I was trying to be really healthy, so I made this adzuki bean lasagna. And I ate it. I did not know the impact having all those beans in one sitting would have on me. I have never felt that uncomfortable. I was gassy. I was bloated. I did not want to leave the house for like 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I still don't go near adzuki beans. I think I've been traumatized. I just don't go near adzuki beans anymore. And so beans are one of the high fiber foods. They are brilliant for us. They're so important to include, but you have to do it gradually. So, you know, sometimes you only have one opportunity to work with someone to make change. And so it's really important that you do it gradually. So there is no upper limit to fiber, but there is an upper limit to how quickly you can increase the fiber that you're having. Okay. And so if you are sensitive to beans and you're not used to them, you really want to start slow. Even if that's including 1, 2, 3 beans in your meals daily and slowly build up. As they feed, if our gut microbes aren't used to them and they start feeding off them, they will produce more gas. But as these microbes grow, you will be able to better digest them. Okay. If you are buying beans, the ones in the cans, you want to make sure that you rinse it. So it's got a special kind of fiber called oligosaccharides that people are sensitive to. And by rinsing the beans, the pre-cooked canned beans, in water, you can remove up to 40% of this oligosaccharide. Okay? If you buy glass-jarred beans, they're tolerated a little bit better. So the beans in the glass jars are a little bit more expensive, but they are pre-soaked. Yeah.
Right.
So by pre-soaking them, it allows you to digest the beans better. So they're tolerated more. If you're making your own beans, which to be honest, I haven't even done that. I think time is an issue a lot of the time. But if you do have the ability to make your own beans, soak them overnight for 12 to 24 hours with a little bit of vinegar, and it can reduce the anti-nutrients and also the FODMAPs, that what people react to. And then if you pressure cook them with a little bit of kombu when you're boiling them, it's a Japanese seaweed. That seaweed contains enzymes that break down the gas causing carbohydrate in the beans. Yeah. And it also reduces the cooking time. And then you can just discard the kombu before serving. Also herbs like bay leaf, cumin, fennel, ginger, turmeric, or asafoetida during cooking can aid digestion and reduce the bloating. So there are lots of ways to make them more digestible. There is a campaign right now as well called Beans is How, and they're trying to double bean consumption by 2028 because beans are so great for us. They have protein, they have fiber, they're good for the soil and the planet, and they're affordable as well. And there's so many different varieties of beans as well that we can incorporate. So I think the bottom line is start slow and just slowly increment the beans.
I think this is one of the key messages today, that we have to start slowly. We don't have to be overwhelmed by doing everything in one go. You just do one little step at a time, you layer it on, and therefore your body, it sounds like what you're saying is your body has time to acclimatize, to get used to it, to develop the good bacteria, to grow the good bacteria, to be able to deal with that level of fiber as you continuously increase it over the medium and long term.
Exactly, exactly. And like if we referenced the study we talked about earlier, just increasing it by one plant increased feelings of happiness and well-being, right? So just starting somewhere is so good and it has benefit, but you have to be consistent.
Just once a week is not going to be enough. Just gradually each day, try something. Each week, try something.
Yeah.
And it's been hard to change, you know, for some. Some people say like changing your diet's like changing a religion. Most people don't do it, but it's amazingly transformative when you can start to really be very conscious about what you're eating and really understanding the connection between what you're eating and what that is doing for you, for your mind, for your body, for your health, for your energy. We might not always feel it straight away, but it compounds over time, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it's so true what you say. No one really follows a new diet plan long term, which is why you want to layer it into what you're already doing and habit stacking onto an existing habit you already have.
Exactly, because then, God willing, most people have breakfast or they have the first meal of the day. So just add something in, put some lettuce on the side of your dish, chop some carrots to the side, chop some tomatoes. You know what I love doing, Fasana, in winter though? I love soup. And then I add things to it. So I buy this fresh soup, a very good quality one from the supermarket, organic. But in my fridge, I have spring onions. And then I'll chop them up, I'll put them in the soup. And sometimes I'll even shred lettuce and I'll put it in the soup, which I know sounds horrible, but you can do that with spinach as well, baby leaf spinach.
Because
it breaks down and it just, I try and turbocharge that soup with as much goodness as possible rather than just having the soup. So similar to your porridge, it's amazing what you can do to your base meal, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, another thing which is great in soups, if you get some butter beans and blend them in, it just tastes so creamy and delicious. And you've just easily, through what got in, a huge amount of fiber.
Yeah. And on top of that, they're a source of protein too. So you're packing a punch there. Well, I know our interview's about fiber today. We're speaking with Fasana Nasser. She's a nutritionist. She's also the author of the Everyday High Fiber Plan from New River Books. You can get it on Amazon online, also on Waterstones online, any online bookshop. Definitely give it a go because it provides a very clear roadmap on how to gradually increase fiber into your diet to impact all areas of your health. She'll give you a list of things to have in your store cupboard and directions over 30 days and how to achieve that high fiber plan so it isn't overwhelming. So definitely give it a go. We're going to listen to a few messages from our commercial partners and then we're going to carry on talking about Fiber Max thing.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning. losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, and we're talking about Fibermaxing with Fasana Naffa. Fasana is a nutritionist, functional medicine practitioner, and also the author of the Everyday High Fiber Plan from New River Books. You can find out more about that on Amazon. You can find it. You can also find it on Waterstones and on any online bookshop. And you can find out about the work of Fasana Naffa on her website, www.fasananaffa.com. And Fasana is spelled FASANAH, in case you didn't know. And then it's naffa.com. You can follow her on Instagram, FasanaNaffa_nutrition. Also Facebook, Fasana Naffa. And you can check her out on TikTok as well. She's at FasanaNaffa_nutrition. Now we're talking about Fibermaxing. There's a big trend in social media, in the press, and it's kind of a good trend. We know there are some downsides if you have too much fiber, but if you layer it gradually and you don't overwhelm your body with too much fiber straight away, then that's absolutely okay. I guess, Fasana, people need to drink enough water when they're having fiber as well, shouldn't they?
Yes, absolutely. So as you increase your fiber, you also want to increase your water, which allows the fiber to flow through nicely through your gut. It doesn't just have to be water. Also, things like herbal teas count. Right now, we're having a heat wave, so you don't really want a herbal, like a hot tea. You could make it, then you could put it in the fridge and have it like an iced tea. Broths, they all count. And actually, we get a lot of hydration through our foods as well. So foods like cucumbers, tomatoes, watermelon are very low fiber foods, but they're very high water content as well, right? So we could include foods like that for hydration. But yeah, we definitely want to make sure we're getting enough hydration as we increase our fiber. And I actually have loads of examples of different teas and drinks that you could have. For example, if you struggle a little bit with bloating, you might want to include some grated ginger in your tea or some fennel seeds. And there are lots of different ingredients that can help support your gut. If you're not used to certain foods or you feel a little bit uncomfortable when you've had more fiber.
Tell us about short-chain fatty acids, Fasana, the end products of fiber, and also fermented foods.
Yeah, so short-chain fatty acids are the anti-inflammatory compounds produced by our gut microbes when they eat fiber. These are very anti-inflammatory compounds. They travel throughout the body, supporting pretty much all aspects of health. And so the more fiber you have, your body is better able to make more short-chain fatty acids as well. So fermented foods are probiotics predominantly. If you have something like kimchi, sauerkraut, they contain probiotics, they contain prebiotics, and they contain postbiotics, which is also called short-chain fatty acids, which is quite nice because then you have like the symbiotic. So when you have everything together, the probiotics, the prebiotics, and the postbiotics, we call that symbiotics, and it includes all those things. So, and when we do actually buy fermented foods, which is a brilliant food to include with our meals, and it's very easy. So when you have your porridge, you might add a tablespoon. That's something else you might layer in, you know, a tablespoon of yogurt or kefir to get in some good microbes as well to support health. When we have lunch, we might add a little bit of kimchi or sauerkraut to whatever it is we're eating. You could add it to our sandwich or to our soup or the side of our plate. dinner time, we might use something like an apple cider vinegar with the mother as a dressing, or have kombucha, but or again, kimchi or sauerkraut. But there's so many ways that we can incorporate it. When you buy your fermented foods, you do want to try to get them from the refrigerated section, which basically means they haven't been pasteurized and they still contain the live bacteria. However, if you are not able to get them from the refrigerated section, that's also okay. You often see things like sauerkraut, kimchi on shelves too. They won't have the probiotics, but they will have obviously the fiber, the prebiotics from the cabbage and vegetables. And they will also contain the beneficial compounds, the short-chain fatty acids, aka postbiotics, that are produced from the microbes when they were fermenting the food.
It's been absolutely thrilling to speak with you today. I've absolutely loved the whistle-stop tour of fiber for Sana. I do encourage everybody to read the book, because this is just touching the tip of the iceberg. It goes much deeper than this. Fiber has multitudes of benefits on every level, and it takes time and expertise to layer things up. So I definitely encourage people to try out the book, The Everyday Hyperfiber Plan, from Fasana Natha. And we really appreciate you coming on and giving us a few tips to get ourselves started before reading the book. If anybody's interested in the work of Fasana Natha, you can check out her website, fasananatha.com. And you can also get The Everyday High Fiber Plan from New River Books on Amazon online or Waterstone. Hopefully you'll come up again on the show, Fasana. It's been great having you. And listeners, I really do hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Please join us again next week on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio.